Welcome to the Personal Perseverance Project. My name is David Atkins, retired New York State Trooper, million-dollar direct sales, international business earner, author, and keynote motivational speaker, where each week I come here to help you break through your excuses so you can live a life up to your fullest potential. Let the project begin.
That is my mindset. I operate on a level of excellence, and you guys need to wake up every single day, and you need to operate on a level of excellence and create your masterpiece.
What's up, guys? And we have an amazing episode, an interview today with Jessica Griffin. I just finished up an amazing interview. So much to take away, but I want to just quickly give you her background before we dive right into it. So Jessica is a former teacher who made a career change after losing her dad to kidney cancer in an effort to impact health and wellness and live her own life with more intention. She got certified as a personal trainer and started New Jersey Fit Mom in 2010 by creating a local boot camp for moms. It started with 8 participants in a park, and she grew it in a few short years to 100 plus people and businesses in multiple locations with multiple trainers. In 2014, she published her first book, Beyond Burpees, which is a compilation of workouts, drills, and resources to help trainers create their own successful bootcamp programs. After becoming a CrossFit coach and Olympic lifting coach, she opened a local training gym where she offered small group functional fitness training as well as fitness classes for kids and teens. In 2017, she took New Jersey Fit Mom from local to global by becoming a coach with a large-scale health and wellness company. She has built a million-dollar international direct sales business, leading a team of over 1,000 people today. Through her success in business and leadership, Jessica has become a speaker presenting to groups of 100 to a few thousand people around the country. She is the founder of Unstuck Yourself Mastermind, a 12-week course to help women get out of their own way and create the life they've been craving. Jessica works with women one-on-one in small groups to help them break out of the limits that hold them back in order to reach their full potential, and helps women reach their specific health and fitness goals through her online coaching program. Most importantly, Jessica is a police wife and mom to her 3 daughters. So with that, let's dive into it with the interview with Jessica. Hello, everybody, and I'm so excited you got to hear a little bit about the background of my friend Jess Griffin. What an amazing background. What an amazing story, and I'm really excited to bring her on our Personal Perseverance Project podcast today so you can hear her story. You can hear about all the things that she faced, the trials and tribulation, the adversity, and how she still persevered in no matter what she faced to succeed in all areas of her life as her mom, as an entrepreneur, as a wife. There's just so much to share. So I want to dive right into it. So, hey, Jess, how are you?
Hi.
Welcome. Good. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you and got to know you through the years. And I really just want to dive right into, like, you know, who are you really? Where are you from? Where did you grow up? A little bit about your family. So let's just start off and give the audience an idea of your background.
Sure. I grew up in New Jersey, northwestern New Jersey, tiny little town. Me, my brother, my parents, I would say your basic middle class upbringing, working middle class. And are pretty, you know, normal childhood, nothing special, nothing crazy. And then when I was 14, I was diagnosed with severe ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease. So that actually was crazy.
How did you figure that out? What happened?
I was sick for over a year. Before I was diagnosed, I was having typical symptoms of ulcerative colitis for anybody that's ever had it. I was just in the bathroom all the time. I was just sick to my stomach. I was losing blood through my intestines when I was going to the bathroom. So I was fainting, passing out. I was anemic. But I was so fearful and embarrassed because I was 14 years old, and you know what it's like being a teen. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to tell my parents. I didn't want to tell them what was happening with the bathroom. I didn't want to tell them that I was seeing bleeding. I thought I had this rare cancer and I was just going to kind of keep it to myself. I didn't want to upset them. And like, maybe we're just like kind of work its way out. Or I was like, just going to die. I don't know. I don't know what was going through my head at 14, except for fear. And I was embarrassed and I couldn't get the words out. And it was like, what is wrong? What is going on? You know, you're passing out, all the stuff. And finally, went to the doctor and he said, do you see anything, any bleeding? And I looked him straight in the eye and said, nope, nothing. And I came home and I went in my room and I cried and I cried. And my mother came in and I said, I've been lying for a year. Oh my I don't know what's happening. I'm so embarrassed. I can't keep going on. Like, you know, it was just, it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
So that was like eighth grade.
Ninth grade.
So did you get that under control ultimately?
It took a good decade really to get it under control. And I really think part of the reason was because I let it go for so long.
Yeah.
You know, and it just kept getting worse and worse.
Right.
And so, no, I was on homebound tutors. I was taken out of school. I was on massive amounts of steroids and immunosuppressing drugs. I was my once athletic frame and body that I was went to, you know, I lost a ton of weight. Then I gained a ton of weight from all the medications. Wow. My muscles atrophied. I started losing my hair. I mean, it was just...
Even at a young age, like you already started facing some tough life lessons that some adults don't even face. So you just, that's just amazing. So where did you go to high school? So tell me about where did you go when you're going through this? Where'd you go to high school?
I was going to high school in New Jersey, in Sparta, a town called Sparta.
Sparta. And then when you graduated, where'd you go from there?
I went to Clemson University in South Carolina.
What'd you study?
I studied psychology.
And how did that go?
I absolutely love psychology. I say I have my master's in psych as well. And I always say I use psychology more in this coaching business than I did when I was actually working in the field of psychology, right? When I was actually doing behavioral health, and I use it more every day with my coaching clients.
Oh, wow. So you went for psychology and what happened through your 4 years of college? Like, where did that take you with your career? What did you end up doing?
So when I got out of college, I started my graduate degree in Manhattan. So I moved there. I got very sick again with my Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. And I had to leave. I left after a semester. I ended up in the hospital. I ended up on IVs, home care nursing. So I had to leave my apartment in the city. I had to leave school, come home, heal, which really had been the pattern. Like I said, so now I'm 21, I'm out of college. I had started this disease at 14 and that had been the pattern. It was like, band-aid it, get it better, get back on your feet and then flare and take it out of school, take it out of this, you know, that was just a pattern. It was really, modern medicine was failing me.
Right.
And I didn't know enough at the time to be researching and doing my own thing. I was really kind of sitting as a victim, just waiting for that shoe to drop. So I came home, and the great thing about coming home, though, was once I was healed and back on my feet, trying to find my life, I call it my quarter life crisis. I was waitressing, I was working out, and I went into a bar that the most popular bar in my town where kind of everybody hangs out. And I did not want to go that night. I was like, I know everybody at this place. I don't want to go out. And lo and behold, that's where I met my husband.
Oh, wow. So backing up. So you're working out, you're at the gym before about your husband. Did exercise become something that was helping you cope with what you were going through? Or was that when did that become such a big part of your life?
So exercise and nutrition really towards in my college years, I started to figure out that what I was eating and how I was fueling my body was affecting my disease, my autoimmune disease. And that exercise was really just a fantastic outlet for the anxiety and the stress and the depression that all comes with living with autoimmune disease, chronic autoimmune disease that is very much not in remission. And also I found out just that when, as I would put those pieces together, that it was helping my symptoms. I was able to have less of the symptoms or longer periods before the symptoms. And I just noticed that correlation.
Wow. And probably all the other benefits you started feeling, you know, because I'm a big believer and I always talk about it's so much bigger than even the physical. things which had helped you physically, but it's the byproduct of how you feel mentally. So it probably carried over. Like, you're dealing with all of this stuff since 14. Mm-hmm. And then you realize you started exercising, doing it a more natural way, and it started helping you so much. So now you're out of college. Mm-hmm. You have your degree. Are you working in your career or not? You were saying you were waitressing, or what were you doing? Like, at that point, where is your career path, like right before you met your husband?
I was waitressing, and then I took a job. I was doing like behavioral health counseling. I was working with patients right when they got out of a mental hospital, Access One diagnoses, helping them integrate back into society. That's, as I was dating my husband, I was doing that.
And had you met him at the bar, and tell us about him. What is he doing?
So he was out visiting from California. He was at a table of some other really nice looking young men. And I'm like, hey, these boys are not from this town. So I, of course, in, you know, true fashion, those of you that know me, I sat myself right down and said, what are you guys doing here? You're not from here.
He's from California.
Yeah. He's from California. Mm-hmm. And he played baseball at Fresno State in California.
Wow.
And so it was the semester before he graduated, he had this opportunity to come play for a single A team out in New Jersey, which was affiliated with the St. Louis Cardinals at the time. Oh, wow. And it was about 25 minutes from where I grew up. Absolutely field of dreams. If you can picture a field in the cornfield, that's what this field was. So he was there. It was probably like his third night. And, you know, some people told them, oh, go to this bar. It's fun out in Sparta. And yeah, that's how we met. We hit it off. Wow. And that was kind of the summer of love. That summer, the team was there, and it was just a super fun summer. And everybody thought it was, you know, just baseball player passing through. He'll go on his way when the season's over. And so with the relationship, and here we are.
Isn't that funny? You know, I always like to say that life, you know, when things are least expected, right? You're least expected. I know with my wife, Kristen, I just came out of a relationship, and it was like, I just wanted to go out with a bunch of state troopers at the time. And then I meet Kristen also at a bar the night before Thanksgiving, and you're going out and you're getting your life in order. You graduated college, and then you meet your husband. So you guys meet. And then what happens after that? So he's from California, he's playing baseball. You're in this job career that you're doing. So take us through the next couple of years.
So, right. He's playing ball. He's supposed to go, back at the end of the season. It was short season A. So he's supposed to go back. He got an invitation to play fall ball, to extend his season. I forget where he was going for that. I think somewhere in the Carolinas. I also had an opportunity to move down to Charlotte with my roommate from college, who was down there, and she was teaching. She had an apartment, she needed a roommate, and I was like, I'm footloose and fancy free. You know, I'm not sure what I'm doing right now. I have this, you know, whatever. And so I had plans to move down there with her. And so my husband decided he wasn't going to go back to California. He was going to come down via Charlotte with me, live there for a month, and then go do his fall ball.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, your family at the time, mom and dad are still in Jersey.
Yeah, mom and dad are up here. My brother went to Duke, and then he stayed down there. And I'm trying to remember where he was at that time, if he was already down south or if he was back up. I can't remember. And actually, thinking about the timeline, I was still, I hadn't yet started the behavioral health job. I had the waitressing job I was working at. I was like, I don't have anything really. Like, I'm not quite sure what I'm doing. I'm going to Charlotte. I'm going to get a job down there. And he came. He came, he played fall ball. And then, you know, I got a teaching job down there. My minor was in Spanish. I lived in Mexico. I studied abroad, and they were in great need of Spanish teachers down there. And they had an alternate route program. And so I was able to get in with the school and start teaching.
So you started teaching, which was something that you didn't plan on doing. So you're teaching, and you're still, and how is everything going with your Crohn's disease at the time when you're teaching?
I fell into it. Yeah. My Crohn's is not hellacious, but it's still there.
Right.
It's still there.
So now you're a teacher. Where'd you teach?
In Charlotte.
Okay.
I taught in high school.
Okay.
So I'm teaching. He's playing ball. When he got home from playing ball, he got a full-time sub position at the same school. So we were like the happy couple, working at the school together. And yeah, then we were home that next Thanksgiving. He proposed. It was like a year and a half. He proposed. And it was kind of like, all right, well, if we're going to get married, he's playing ball for half the year.
Right.
He's playing ball and then getting odd jobs on his off season. I was like, I should probably be home close to my family, where at least when he's out playing, I've got my mom and my guys and, you know, do that. And we can live at home and save some money before we get married.
Right.
So we went back up north.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately. And we've been stuck here ever since. We're stuck in the cold.
But so many amazing things happen, which kind of gets into my next thing. So let's like get into, you know, you get into multiple businesses with health and wellness. You've been through a lot of ups and downs and failures with that, with some of your story, ultimately to where you are today. You went through a lot with you can get into with your dad. So let's like take us to now. You know, Jess Griffin, now you're a teacher, and now you start pursuing these other avenues in your life. And why did you do it? What made it start? And start telling us what happened.
Well, like I said, I fell into teaching. It was a convenient job that I could do at the time. And I had a husband who was pursuing his dream of being a baseball player, minor league. So somebody needed the benefits and somebody needed the steady paycheck.
Right.
And that's what I was doing. But it was never, it was just something I could do. It wasn't fulfilling. My heart, you know, wasn't in it. I was good at it. I was a favorite teacher, but just always felt like I was supposed to be doing something more. And because of my Crohn's and my nutrition and my exercise, that was like my passion. That was something I did. I helped people with their workouts and their nutrition just naturally. Anyone who had autoimmune, they sent to me like, talk to Jess. She knows what she's talking about when it comes to inflammation in the body and all of that. So I had this like, oh, wouldn't it be great to like do this one day? You know, when I retire from this job and the pension, I'm going to be a trainer. You know, that's what I'm going to do.
Wow.
So I had that, you know, down the line, after I paid my dues here doing the status quo job, I would do that. And then my father was diagnosed with stage 4 renal cell cancer. And we lost him in 6 months' time. He was 64. And it was 6 months before he was supposed to pull back on his schedule, right, and start working less hours. And just like that, everything that they had planned for, everything stops on a dime.
Right.
And you know, when you lose people, parents, people that are close to you, really just kind of take stock as to like, what the hell am I doing? Right. How am I living? What am I doing? Am I promised tomorrow? So that all of that came into play. And I just thought, God, I'm waiting till I'm done to go pursue this passion of fitness and health and wellness and coach other people. And like, I'm not guaranteed that's going to happen. I had 2 small kids at the time. I'm like, I'm paying for childcare so I can go teach this job. Let me, you know, think about just making a huge pivot. And I like to say, like, I did what any sane person does after you lose your parent. You give up your 13-year career of teaching and your safe pension. You go get certified and you start your boot camp in the park for moms.
But but how interesting, like, if we take a step back of what you're saying, the amount of people that you hear about or maybe listening to this that are doing a job that they don't like, right? Are having a dream, I'm going to do this at a later point in life. And you have a story of, you know, you lost your dad, right? That made you pivot. I have a story when my best friend was shot and killed. And I say that, like, you know, I always say my saying, life doesn't fire a warning shot. But what do you say to those people out there that haven't had that big thing, but are sitting there and they have that goal and they have that dream and they know that they should be doing something else? You know, what do you say to somebody like that realizes they need to make that pivot? Because you did, but we had these life-altering moments, but it's no different that life-altering moment could be us ourselves. Like, that's the thing for me is we all of a sudden cannot be here tomorrow. So what was your mindset then? You had your dad, but what are your thoughts are with all the people that are just sitting there miserable? You hear about people that are miserable doing the job just for a paycheck.
Settling. Yep. Or they're to the point where they're numb. They don't even realize they're miserable and settling. It's that like, I'm good, right? It's good. It's okay. Is it though?
Right.
Are you really good?
So what do you say to somebody like that?
The time, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it kind of like what you say, life doesn't fire a warning shot. For me, it's like, this is it. This is all we're getting, right? This is the life we've been given, right? Are we going to want to sit doing it working and doing something that isn't speaking to us, isn't fulfilling us. I would rather work my ass off doing my own thing for my goals, for my dreams, for the way that I think I can serve this world better. Right. And for me, it was saving people from illness and dying too young. That was it. It was like, I'm going on a wellness mission. This is what I'm going to do. I would rather do that than work my ass off at some job that I don't enjoy doing.
Right.
Right. You know, I want control of my path and where I'm going. Right.
You know, and you did
everybody has that possibility. It's not open to just a few of us. It's open to everybody. It's just that choice of, you know, I say it all the time. It's the first thing on my website is stop settling, start living.
I like that. I like that. And you did it with purpose because you felt something, you know, there, you know, John Maxwell says, once you find your why, you find your way. So for you at that point, like you had your dad that you lost in 6 months and you had a purpose because something that affected you personally with your health and wellness, and you wanted to help others. So you had the purpose, but at the same time, you had a why you want to do it. You want to help others. So I think so many people, when they're stuck, it's because they don't have purpose in their life. And when you don't have purpose, you're not going to be driven. And if you're doing something you hate, you just, you know, what good is that? There's a study that was done, and Gary Vaynerchuk talks about it, that they interviewed a bunch of people in senior like nursing homes and said, you know, tell me about your life. And a lot of them started with, I wish I did this. I wish I did that. And I think for people in the audience and hearing this, like you, there is no warm up in life, right? There's no practice. We get one shot, as you just said, at this thing. And if you're sitting there at the end of the day, why are you going to live a life that's just unfulfilling? You may need to take that leap of faith. Wow. So,
I was just going to say, I think, you know, it's like the obstacle is away. Had that not happened with my father, I'd probably still be sitting. I hate to think, but I'd probably still be sitting in that job. That's just a means to an end and paying the bills. But now, right, we have podcasts and we have other people to listen to, and people can hear the stories and decide to act without having their own tragedy. And speaking of John Maxwell, the thing that he says about purpose is passion with a touch of divinity, right? And I think that's exactly it, right? It's what are you passionate about? And then that touch of divinity for me, it was, you know, losing my father.
Wow. And people take life for granted because they think that won't happen to me. And that's the worst thing. You should learn
health and wellness, right?
Absolutely. And learning through the experience of others is, you know, people should take advantage of that. You shouldn't just rely on your own life experience. You can learn quicker by learning it through others. So, all right. So now you dive in, you get involved. So how did you start? What did you do? Where did it go from there?
I just went and got certified. I signed up for a certification. I got myself certified. I started, I started with, what did I need? I was a mom with two young kids. I had just moved to a town where there was really no fitness options around. And so I started a boot camp for moms in the park. I hired a babysitter who would watch the kids and let them play. And we did a workout for 45 minutes to an hour. So I really started with boot camps and group exercise, grew that to three different parks, you know, hired some trainers, had morning classes, evening classes, went into a subletted space for a while, then had a small, tiny garage space. Then got the bigger space. I, you know, got more certifications. I got CrossFit certified, perinatal.
And what difficulties, just because you know that was not easy. You didn't just go and all of a sudden it blows up to three locations. And like, so you're going through this. What was the things that you faced, you know, going through it, and what kept you going? Because I think there is this persona on social media when it comes to entrepreneurship, especially today, that people make it out like it's the easy, like they post their fancy cars and their jet planes. Yeah, and the highlight reel, and you're $1 million earner in your business today. And you and I both know what it's like. And I think people aren't willing to share. Like, I know you said you did this and you did this and you did this boot camps, but it was not easy. I'm sure. From now, how do you get the word out? How do you expand? Like, what were the struggles you went through to get to even grow that point?
Yeah. Well, I hustled my ass off. Right. That's what I did.
Yes.
Like, I actually made the paper where you put the numbers at the bottom, you know, and you cut them out so people can tear it off. And I put it at the grocery store. I mean, I just
I love
was
that.
22, 10 when I started. Yeah. I mean, I went to the little ad in the newspaper. We used to have newspapers that were real, right? And printed out the little ad. I, you know, my first client, it's hysterical. I was at the park. I was at the track and I saw this woman running around the track with her kids. The kids were like all in the center and she was doing laps. And I'm like, this is the lady I'm looking for. And I ran backwards as she was running. And I still to this day don't know where I got the chutzpah to do it. But I was like, hey, I'm starting a boot camp for moms and we're going to be babysitting the park. And it looks like you like to work out and you've got kids. So here's my email. And she, by the time I got home, there was an email from her.
I think you hit the nail on the head. You worked your butt off. I think that that's what's been lost. People, we have the microwave mentality that I'm going to get the results tomorrow. I'm going to build a big business tomorrow because I see everybody else doing it. I'm going to get 6-pack abs tomorrow. But you developed that work ethic. And would you say the reason is because you loved what you do? Because I've read and learned, and I believe this is true. When you love what you do, you will find a way because you love it. So would you say all of that hard work was because of that?
Yeah, I say, I have a saying that I use, and it's mission driven, why focused. So the mission is constantly driving me, and the mission is about wellness, empowering women through wellness, right? And so the mission is always about that, right? That's that piece. And then the why focus is why am I doing it? And when I started with the boot camp, it was, hey, you were making X amount of money as a teacher. Now you're doing your own thing. You're married to a police officer. We're not swimming in money by any stretch, right? We're paycheck to paycheck. So this is what you got to earn. You got to figure out how to make this work for your family. So that was the why, right? You got to keep figuring out. You got to open more parks. You got to do more classes. You got to do this. So mission-driven, why focus?
Oh, I love that. Mission-driven, why focus? That's amazing. So take us through. You're expanding, and what happened after that?
Yeah, we expand. We think everything is like the most hunky-dory thing in the world. We end up with a space in town. We renovate it. We take out a home equity line of credit. We put things on credit cards. We completely renovate this place. We're like, we're going all in. We're going to be able to do boot camps, classes, you know, everything there. Open up. I'm doing kids fit classes. I'm doing teen classes. We're doing co-ed. Everything seems wonderful. And then very shortly after we opened, we got notice of zoning violations. And that we were not allowed to operate as we were operating in that space. A lot of small town politics, a lot of government things beyond my control. And they wanted to shut us down. They wanted to shut us down after that first month. We had a year agreement and I spent the next 18 months, I say sinking. We sunk everything we had and more into the space because this was going to be our forever home. And then we sunk everything we did not have and more into trying to save it, you know, blood, sweat, tears, attorneys, court, the whole thing. And looking back, I really messed that up. I was holding on so tightly because this was this passion project. It was this grief project that I started after I lost my dad. It was the thing that gave some sort of sense to that loss. It was what I was doing to put good out into the world, right? To lead like my father had led with love, with a servant's heart. So this was so much of that wrapped up into it. And the idea of letting that go was really like, I let my dad down.
Right.
You know, I let that down. And if that's not my purpose and my passion and what I'm supposed to be doing,
right,
what was all that for? So I held on very tightly. Put way too much money and effort into it. And at the end, we ended up losing the place after a year and we found ourselves $75,000 in debt.
Wow. So
with no business to pay it off.
So that happens. You're in $75,000 in debt. You've been knocked down. And this is the thing that I'm learning from this. You're in your purpose. You know, you're doing everything. You're fueled. Even when you prepare for life and you do everything right, at times you're going to be thrown curveballs. It's just the way it is. It wasn't like you were doing anything wrong. Like you did everything right. It's easy to fall into the why me. I've done everything right. I didn't cheat. I built it from the ground up. I hustled. I worked. But you obviously persevered through. So what made you persevere through? Like what happened after that and what kept you going?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's be fair. There was a lot of why me, and we're good yes. people doing good things in the world and trying to help people be healthy and right. like why?
Right.
Really struggled for a good year
right.
of being in that victim role. Like, why me? Oh my gosh, like, what am I going to do now? I have three kids and I'm trying to raise them. I can't go just, you know, go back to teaching. And he is a police officer with that schedule, you know, police officer schedule. Like, I need to be home. I need to be able to right. have flexibility. So there was a lot of that. I felt like a failure. It was a very negative mindset time.
Right.
Angry, scared, all of that.
And nobody's yeah. immune from that. That's no. the thing. I think
but that's the thing. You choose if you stay there, like, right? You're going to stay there and stay in that right. like bitter, pissed off place. Why me? The world sucks. Everything around is unfair.
Right.
Or you're going to move on.
That,
right.
And how many people live in that gap of hesitation
yeah.
and say the rest of their life is ruined? And if you play that victim mentality, you're never going to get, you'll never get out of it. And too right. many people think that it's only them, but we all face problems, right? We all get yeah. knocked down and it's just a matter of taking that step. So what made you, when did you finally say, all right, I'm pressing forward. You went through a rough year, but there became a time that you had to somewhat pivot again.
What happened was we started looking at things like bankruptcy and foreclosure and do wow. we stop paying on the house? And what are we doing? We can't get out of this. And the fear of what was going to happen with my family. Like, we were going down. And the thought of having to lose our house and how, you know, it got so great. Mm. It pushed me into action mode. Like, let's go. Like, we got to figure this out. You're a smart girl. You've overcome Crohn's disease. You've overcome losing your father. Like, figure right. shit out. Like, right. we're going to
figure it out.
Yeah. Just figure it out. You know, like, come on, let's go. This isn't the story. Right. So, and that's really when the opportunity with Body came into my lap. And I, for 6 months, was like, that's not for me. I'm a trainer. I owned a gym. I don't think that's going to be a good fit. You know, right. no. Had some preconceived ideas about what I thought the business was about and the company mm. was about. Completely incorrect. But I just got to a place where I thought, I need to do something. I need to be home. I need to have flexibility. I want to coach people. I want to help people. Let's look at how I can make this work for me. Let's look at the possibilities instead of looking at all the reasons why it doesn't exactly match up with what I was doing or what I thought I was going to be doing.
Right. So, like, interesting.
Let's keep the goal the same. Right. Mm. And just kind of like, let's be flexible with the methods and see what comes of it.
So would you say that it's common for people to make assumptions on certain things without even trying? So, like, you're kind of saying, I knew I needed to do something, so the why was there, but you're like, you had your assumptions about it of what you thought it was, but it sounds like your why, there was something saying, but I need to try this.
What it really comes down to is the assumptions or the reasons why things won't work. It's all coming from fear. It's all just a different way that fear is coming yes. out. We're telling the story of it might not work because I'm it.
Right.
I see people face to face, right? Or whatever our story right. is.
Right.
It all boils down to fear. Fear of failing, fear right. of judgment, right? So that's what it was. Like, Jess, stop. You know, you're afraid. And what do you want to do? You want your family to go down? Are you going to get over yourself? So yeah, but I think all those stories are fear.
And Jess, I just read, we have on average, I think it was 60,000 thoughts a day. And I think 80% of them, about 80% are negative self-talk, fear, right? Yeah. And then 90% are redundant, meaning we're thinking the same things over and over and over again. Yeah. And wow, like you said, a huge thing. Fear is the number one thing that usually stops people from moving forward. So what is it that you feel helped
overcome? It's not that they don't have time. It's not that, you know, all those common excuses, I don't have time, I don't have the right. skills. It's not that. It's fear.
It's fear. So what is it that helped you overcome the fear to keep going?
Well, like I said, it was just the fear was so much greater as to what was going to happen to my family. It was like, get over yourself. Let's go. Mm. You know, and I want to be working in my purpose again. I want to be coaching people and be working with women and making an impact and feeling like I was doing good work. Mm. So I got to work, you know, I got right. to work. I had no idea what I was doing. I was an ex-teacher, an ex-bootcamp trainer, an ex-gym owner. I had never run an online group or a course or anything. And I just took imperfect action and, you know, said, let's go.
So your desire to change became stronger than the desire to like to stay the same. Like it was so strong that you're like, I had to do it. I had to face, like, it was that powerful. And I think that's also people have to, you know, we always hear that saying, they get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yes.
You were like back up against the wall and you're like, all right, there may be fear, there may be assumptions, but I cannot stay here. And I think too many people do stay there. And if it gets worse, it snowballs to victim mentality, but you didn't. You overcame it. You had a strong why and you pressed forward. So then what happened after that?
So what happened after that was I started my business. I think I helped 12, no, I know I helped 12 people my very first month in the business. My check was $798 and I was thrilled. I was like, I was like, oh my God, this is like preschool. I can pay for preschool. I don't have to put it on the credit card and add to our debt. I felt like I was contributing. I felt amazing. The 12 women felt amazing. They had a great, you know, results and we had a great group. And I was like, great. This is great. You know, I can run with this. And yeah, that's what I did. You know, I decided I was going to make it the very best that it could be. I was going to take this company. I was going to take the resources. I was going to take me, my resources and my energy. And I was going to create the very best experience for clients.
Absolutely amazing. And that's kind of when, for everybody listening, I met Jess a few years into the business. She was at a leadership event and my first one. And we met and, you know, she, her husband in law enforcement, me being in law enforcement at the time, we connected and Jess rose through the ranks to the highest.
We both have three girls.
Right. And we both also have three girls, you know, and when people listen to this, I don't know, but Valentine's Day yesterday, all the girls are going to make sure the dad takes care of all the girls. But yeah, Jess rose through the highest ranks of the company. And Jess, talk about that. Like what again did it take? So like you went from making assumptions, you had fear, you overcame fear because you're like, I can't be stuck like this. Then you dabble, but then you go all in. Like what's the mindset shift in your head to say, all right, I'm going all in. And now I'm going to go and go after the highest level in the company. Well, go ahead.
Yeah. So what, you know, I have a strong work ethic. I was working at like 12 years old, going to my, you know, neighbors, helping, typing things with like one finger with his business. Like I always wanted to work. I have a strong work ethic. And when I do something, I'm going to do it well. That's just intrinsic to who I am and to how my parents worked and how I was raised. So, right. So I knew I'm going to make hard work works. Right. Hard work works. That's right. Why when people come in and they leave in 6 months, I'm like, I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
Sorry. I don't know what you can build in 6 months. So I built quickly. Much quicker than most people do, but it's because, like I said, when I started, it was just about, I need to get back to work. I need to start earning something. It was just preschool money, grocery money, paying off some, you know, more than minimum on credit cards. And then I was about 4 months in and I saw a coach, a very similar age, very similar background, also a mom. And I saw what she was earning. And it was her year to date and her year to date, insert income disclaimer, was more than my husband as a full-time police officer and myself as a full-time teacher could make in a year. And it was like June. Okay.
Yeah.
And I just remember sitting there thinking, well, wait a second. If she can do that, I can do that.
Yeah.
And then it was like, as you said, all in. Like, let's work this like a business. Let's put on my CEO hat. Let's get, you know, super mission driven and why focused. Let's do the actions to support that. And like, let's go. This could change everything for my family. This could be our lifeline.
You know, going back, you just said you saw some, if they can do it, you know, why can't I do it? And that's just so true. If somebody else, you know, can do it. You know, it was the whole thing with the 4 minute mile and Roger Bannister. And when he broke the 4 minute mile, then all of a sudden within a year, all these people were breaking the 4 minute mile because somebody else did it. And sometimes that's all you need. You need to find somebody that has what you want and do what they do. And you saw it. And that was like, okay, let's go to work. Now you built and you grew, but I'm sure with any business doing this, there were ups and there were downs continually you went through, even up till today, but.
And there still are.
Exactly. Exactly. But you keep going. And what would you say is the thing that drives you day in and day out?
Again, I would say it's mission-driven, why focused. You just keep the mission. You got to keep that mission close. And you got to be so clear on your personal mission. I do a mastermind course. It's a 12-week Unstuck Yourself course. And one of the things we start with is, what is your personal mission manifesto? How do you develop that? What does that look like? What does it mean to you? Because it's got to be something that really drives you. It can't be to check a box, to hit a rank, to hit, you know, it's got to be something that really drives you. So I think when you figure that out and you find that, you've got to keep it so close to you.
I love it.
Like, there are tasks we have to do that are like, not always fun. Like, you know, right. You've built several businesses and like there's tasks and there's grunt work that isn't always fun, but it's getting you to the goal and it's allowing you to work in your mission and work in your purpose. So.
And paired with a why. And a lot of people don't have a why. I think people, we go through the motions and then when we hit adversity, we stop or we quit because we don't have that driving force to keep going, you know, and it, everybody's why is different, but you have to have an anchor of a why. So you have the mission, but to keep going, you have a why. For me, it's my wife, it's my kids. Now, as a speaker, it's the people that I speak to empower them. You know, so what would you say? Talk to me about like, what is your why right now that keeps you going every single day?
So, you know, it's funny. I heard, I think it was on, it was an Ed Milet was saying that the problem is a lot of people have bullshit whys. They say a why that they want to sound good to everybody else. So it sounds like they're like a good person, like, right. They don't want the real why, which the truth is when I started, yes, I was mission driven. I absolutely so, you know, so focused on empowering women through wellness and what it does and how that transcends to other areas of our life. And I believe you change your mom, you change your family, all of that stuff. I believe in, you know, being able to overcome illnesses, all of that, right? So I have all that, but my why was to get out of debt. My why was very clearly to not be drowning in debt, not have the anxiety, not have the stress, and to be able to have choice, to be able to have more freedom, more flexibility, to be able to offer my children choices in the future. You know, my two older girls were able to switch into private school 3 years ago. That was not a possibility 6 years ago. Right. It wasn't even, I remember getting a letter because they're smart girls, their grades, no way, put it in the garbage. No way, we can't do that.
Right.
So my why is very much driven by creating a better life for my family.
I love it. So Jess, as we kind of wrap up, I have a couple questions for you. I want to ask a couple things. So the first, and I may know the answer, but I always like to ask, who is the most influential person in your life and how did they impact you?
Well, it's, you know, we have a joke between my mom and I, like, well, you know, my dad is dead. So he like gets all the accolades. It's different when one parent has passed. They get a pass on everything. They get all of the stuff. But I would have to say it's the mix between both my parents. Like I mentioned a little earlier, they were just such hard working humans. They always put the kids first, always put family first. When my father was laid off from his job, I remember my mother going and getting a job in a restaurant. So she would go and do that, you know, so while he was laid off, and then he would take extra jobs at night. And, you know, they always figured out a way. And they always did it as a team. They always did it as a team and made it work for whatever was needed for the family. So they just had incredible work ethics and they both had really strong faiths. My father in particular, and they just had a very, like I said, the idea of working in service, right? My dad always talked about being a stewardship and a servant's heart. And so really the two of them just They're both why I do. My mom owned her own business as well for a couple of years. She owned a travel agency. She started as a travel agent and ended up buying the business and did that. And then she started another business on her own with a friend of hers. So she was always just same thing, hustling. I'm going to work it out. We got to figure this out,
right.
You know, to make ends meet and to be able to give to their kids.
I love it. So one question I'm going to ask everybody at the end, and it's, what is the one thing you feel people need to know who feel stuck in their life, are ready to improve, but just don't know where to start?
Yes. Well, I love that. You know, my whole thing is unstuck. That's what I do. I help women get unstuck. My Instagram bio is I help women GTFO out of their own way. And it's unstuck yourself, right? If you're stuck in, right, a diagnosis, a size, a financial situation, a job, just, you know, right. That's my thing is, you know, I'm here to help women get unstuck. So what was your question?
If you had to start off, what would be the one main thing if people are in that position? You're like, okay, to unstuck yourself, as you call it, you know, right. What is the one thing people need to know who feel stuck in their life, but are ready to improve? Like, what would you say to them?
Yeah. So what I would say is that you absolutely can. Everything is temporary. Right. Everything is temporary. Everything is temporary. That. Everything is temporary. We have choices, right? Feeling stuck sucks, but it's not a permanent place. And we have the power to move past that. However, you need help. Like you need a coach. That's why there are humans in this world. There's coaches, there's mentors, there's therapists. So go out and get somebody to help you get unstuck. It's very hard to do on your own because we have all these negative self-talks and limiting beliefs and the stories. And you need to be working with somebody who is going to help you uncover them, who's going to help you get over them. And also, I mean, one of the first things I do with my clients is like, you got to figure out, okay, you're feeling, where do you want to go? Right. Mm. Where do you want to be? Let's define what that looks like first, right? Let's figure out, where do you actually want to go? What does that look like? And now, okay, who do we have to become to get there? Right. And obviously, you know, we tease that out a lot more than that, but so yeah, get help so you can figure out where the hell you want to go and then get some support getting there.
I think the main thing I took away was what you said in the beginning, that quote unquote, and we'll kind of end with this, is everything is temporary. So no matter what somebody is going through, it is temporary. And I often say this too shall pass. So whatever you're going through. And I think that what you said, that is great. So Jess, as we close, where can people find you? You mentioned you have a book. How can people connect with you, your social media? Share with the audience where we can get connected with you and we'll end from there. Yeah.
No, I don't have a book yet. I will have a book. I do have a book called Beyond Burpees that I wrote for trainers. Oh, that one. Yes, I did. That's I wrote that book a couple of years ago to help trainers with their boot camps and it's different drills and games and all that. So yeah. So my website is jessicagriffincoaching.com.
Okay.
So Griffin is GRIFFIN.
Okay.
Ian. .com. So you can find me there. You can email me at jessica@jessicagriffincoaching.com. What I do is I help women get unstuck. And I do that in fitness, health and wellness with online coaching and one-to-one coaching. And I do that in a bigger capacity with some bigger life stuck stuff with my mastermind groups and also private coaching.
Well, Jess, thank you for sharing, you know, so much about what you've been through from when you were 14 and your Crohn's disease to losing your dad and persevering through and finding, you know, mission-driven, why-focused and building a great business and empowering leaders. Like, it's amazing if you really look back and everybody and hear her story. And I think the biggest takeaway I'm taking away is that no matter how many times she got knocked down, she always found a way and kept going. And I just think in life, that's what we need to do. And Jess, you're a great example of that. It was absolutely amazing hearing your story. Everybody go connect with Jess Griffin, follow her on her social media. She does amazing stuff.
At NJFitMom is my Instagram. So at NJFitMom, come say hello there. You gotta be okay with
NJFitMom.
You gotta be okay with some, some curses if you come to my Instagram.
It's
you
gotta all be good, good.
With real life stuff.
All right, well, that, we want people to be real. We don't want the highlight reel and not share hard work, as we spoke about, which really is another thing about this. It's all about the hard work. So, Jess, thank you. Thank you so much. You rock. And everybody, we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Personal Perseverance Project. My goal every single day is to help people live up to their fullest potential. So please share this episode, subscribe to my channel, and maybe even leave a review. Be sure to connect and follow me on all my social media channels. And if you would like more information about me potentially being a keynote speaker at your event, or maybe you want to work with me one-on-one as your private coach, be sure to go to my website at davidakinspeaks.com for more information. Thank you.